Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into something pretty serious. We're looking at the rise in credit and money fraud based on some, well, frankly, alarming numbers from 2024. Our mission today is to give you the insights you need to protect yourself.
Absolutely. The data from last year, it's quite stark. We're talking over $12.5 billion reported lost to fraud.
$12.5 billion. Wow.
Yeah. And that's a 25% increase from 2023, which is a big jump.
Okay, but didn't the number of reports say about the same?
That's the really interesting part. Yes, around 2.6 million reports, pretty stable. But the percentage of people reporting they actually lost money, that jumped, went from about 27% up to 38%.
So fewer people may be getting scammed overall, or at least reporting it. But the scams that do hit are, like, way more effective, hitting for more money.
Exactly. It suggests fraudsters are getting, well, smarter, more targeted. They're likely shifting to more sophisticated methods, things like investment scams, maybe crypto payments, which are, you know, much harder to trace and get back.
And technology is playing a big role here, I assume.
Oh, definitely. We're seeing a lot more use of AI. Think fake emails, texts, websites that look totally real, even deep fake voices for phishing calls. It makes telling fact from fiction incredibly difficult.
Okay, this really drives home the need for awareness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's maybe dig into some of the common schemes and, you know, prevention tips.
Good idea. So imposter scams were actually the most frequently reported type.
Imposter scams. Like pretending to be someone else.
Precisely. Government impersonation is huge. IRS, Social Security. People lost nearly $790 million just to those. But it also includes fake tech support, utility company threats, even scammers pretending to be family members in trouble.
Right. The fake emergency call.
Yeah. The key thing to remember, legitimate organizations, they just don't demand immediate payment with gift cards or crypto. They won't threaten you with immediate arrest over the phone either. Always, always hang up and verify independently using official contact info.
Solid advice. But where did people actually lose the most money? Was it those imposter scams?
No, the highest losses by far were in investment fraud, a staggering $5.7
billion. $5.7 billion, that's huge.
It is, and the red flags are often there. Things like guarantees of high returns, which, let's be honest, are never real, or intense pressure to invest right now. Unregistered products, too. Think classic Ponzi schemes or, you know, pump and dump stock scams.
So the old, if it sounds too good to be true, rule really applies here.
Absolutely. You have to do your due diligence. Check out brokers using Find on Rise broker check tool. It's free. Scrutinize the actual investment itself.
Okay. What about social engineering? The psychological tricks.
Yeah, that's the foundation for many scams. Phishing emails are still massive. India alone saw like 79 million attacks last year. Then you have spear phishing, which is more targeted, phishing over the phone, smishing via text message. And as we said, AI is making the deception, well, much more convincing.
So the defense is basically skepticism.
Pretty much. Healthy skepticism towards any unsolicited contact. If you weren't expecting it, be extra wary. Don't click links. Don't give info.
Got it. And what about those P2P payment apps? Venmo, Zelle, Cash App. Lots of us use them daily.
They're convenient, but risky. Over 250 million in losses reported in 2023 related to these. The main issue is transactions are often instant and irreversible. Very limited fraud protection compared to, say, credit cards.
So scams like the, oops, I sent you money by accident, send it back.
Exactly that one. Or you pay for something online, maybe on Marketplace, and the seller just vanishes. The best advice, treat P2P apps like digital cash. Only send money to people you genuinely know and trust.
Treat it like cash. That's a good way to put it. Okay, lastly, credit card fraud and identity theft. Still a major problem.
Oh, absolutely. ID theft involving credit cards is still number one. And the U.S., unfortunately, accounts for nearly half of global credit card fraud. Often starts small, too, like little test purchases. Over half are under $100. Median loss is around $79.
So you might not even notice those small ones easily.
Right. Which is why monitoring all your transactions, even tiny ones, is critical. Also, people should understand the difference between a credit freeze and a fraud alert. They aren't the same.
Can you quickly break that down?
Sure. A credit freeze basically locks your credit report, makes it really hard for anyone, including you, to open new credit without unfreezing it first. A fraud alert is less restrictive. It just requires lenders to take extra steps to verify your identity before approving credit. It lasts for a year, usually. Freezes last until you lift them.
Okay, that's a really important distinction. So let's try to recap the main takeaways here. Be skeptical, especially of unexpected contacts. Guard your personal info like gold.
Right. Secure your accounts, strong passwords, multi-factor authentication. Monitor your finances constantly.
Understand the risks with different payment methods, like those P2P apps.
And verify investments thoroughly. Don't get rushed or fall for high return guarantees.
Good summary. So what practical steps can people take right now?
Well, seriously, consider placing either a fraud alert or, even better, a security freeze on your credit files with the three main bureaus. Also, check your credit reports regularly. You can get them free weekly at annualcreditreport.com. And if you do see something fishy or sadly become a victim, report it immediately. Reportfraud.ftc.gov is the place to go.
It feels like the scammers are getting more sophisticated, but our defenses can level up too, right? It's about staying aware.
Exactly. Vigilance and staying informed are your best shields.
Great stuff. Thanks for walking us through this really vital information.
My pleasure. And maybe one final thought for everyone listening. Remember that technology is a tool for both sides. But your own critical thinking, your gut feeling, that hasn't been automated yet. How can you cultivate that skepticism, not just for yourself, but maybe help your family and friends stay sharp too? Something to think about.